Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? Sunday, July 28, 2013. I'm your host, Oscar Lopez, and we have a great show lined up today for you. We have two guests, two USA football stars in the No Joke Football Huddle. We have Sharon Vasquez from the Philadelphia Passion, and we have Rachel Gore from the Seattle Majestics of the Women's Football Alliance, as well as Team USA 2013 members that were at Vanta. So we'll talk to them about the experience in Finland. We'll also talk to them about, you know, the Women's Football Alliance League, how it's evolving, and obviously the championship is coming up on August 3rd in San Diego at Balboa Stadium. So in the No Joke Football Huddle, in about 10, 15 minutes, we'll have Sharon on, and then we'll have Rachel as well at about 4:40. And at about the top of the hour, we have a special guest on, Chad Isaac, one of the LFL Canada fans. He's coming on board to talk about a situation with a player on a post that he posted on Facebook, and we'll go through and discuss some of the intricacies of what happened to that player, and obviously based on the post, what the league did in terms of an action. So we'll go forward in that at the top of the hour at about 5 o'clock. Like I said, Chad Isaac, LFL Canada fanatic as well, and he's also the head writer nation fanatic for the Saskatchewan Roughriders on the Facebook fan page as well. So at the top of the hour, we'll have him, and then we'll start the No Joke Football Huddle in a couple minutes here. So if you're new to the show, we welcome you with open arms. Our show format is interactive, and we engage via social media platforms. So if you want to participate on our show today, you can do it in various ways. On Twitter, you can submit questions to our guests prior to our show using hashtag GBRadio. That's hashtag GBRadio. After any comment on your Twitter post, we review those questions and then select a handful to address with our huddle guests during the session. You can also call in by dialing 1-714-888-7418, 1-714-888-7418 to talk to any of our guests or ourselves. If we don't have an answer for you, we can get it for you if that's the case based on a question. We love feedback on our show and for our guests as well. So you can also leave comments here on Blog Talk Radio under the comment box. Or you can direct message us on Twitter as well, or tweet us on Twitter. You can find us on the various social sites. Like I said, Twitter, at Gridiron Beauty, Facebook at facebook.com/gridironbeauties, and our website at zazzle.com/gridironbeauties. So we encourage everyone to network with us by sharing retweets, posts, information about your league, players, organization on our Twitter and Facebook pages. And we also have a format to get the word out in terms of events, sponsorships, and branding on news by using hashtag 2-Minute Drill. That's the number 2, MINDRILL, on any post on Twitter. We tell those posts weekly, and at the end of the show, we give a shout-out to our listeners where you're going to be at in terms of what's happening during the upcoming week. So, for example, today's July 28th. It would have been the 27th of the cutoff for any information going forward for August 3rd. So we want to thank our amazing network sources that provide us with Women's Gridiron news and notes globally. Without them, we would not be here today bringing you the news and notes of the Women's Gridiron game internationally and globally. I want to give a shout-out to at Backseat Coach, at WFA Scores, at Janet TV Football, at IWFL, at WSFL, at Football Nacional, at Touchdown Europe, at FXX Mexico, at FIFA_Spain, at WTF Canada, and of course all our other network helpful players and coaches, as well as Fanatics, for their amazing work weekly on updating us on league info and player news throughout the women's gridiron game. Since we are in the U.S., we cover the most prominent leagues in the gridiron game, whether it be traditional or non-traditional. We cover the Women's Football Alliance, the Independent Women's Football League, the Women's Spring Football League, the Western Women's Canadian Football League, the Maritime Women's Football League, the Legends Football League, all branches, the Women's Arena Football League that just kicked off this year, the Sugar and Spice Football League out of Texas, as well as the Women's Indoor Football League that will be launching in 2014. Also on the international scene with networking groups, we have Guam Women's Tackle Football, which is an affiliate of the IWFL, and then we have the LNAF, which is the Liga Nacional of Football Americana in Spain, the Championship Female American Football in Italy, the CIFA, and the Female Gridiron League of Queensland, which will kick off in September their first season, full-foot season, and they're part of the Gridiron New South Wales League, the ACT Women's League also in Australia, the Ladies Football League Australia, as well as the Legends Football League Australia, and then the Ladies Gridiron League as well. And then in Mexico, we cover the FX Mexico, the ASFFE Mexico, the PGFL, which is a Pretty Girls Football League, and now we'll be covering the LB Bikini Football League as well, that's kicking off. That's in a non-traditional league, just like the PGFL. Visit us on Facebook under the Like section for all the women's gridiron leagues we follow globally. So this weekend, it was an exciting weekend of football. We didn't have traditional women's football in gear. We had basically non-traditional. And out in Texas, we had the Austin Angels taking on the Houston Venus. We'll have the score update on our Facebook page as well as our Twitter page hopefully by tomorrow. And we'll give an update on that. And they have their Super Bowl that's going to be lined up as well. It's coming up on August 17th. So the Sugar and Spice Super Bowl will feature three matchups, not just the actual championship game, but two other matchups. So basically, it's an exclusive six teams in the matchup. So tickets will go on sale August 1st. So you can get details at SSFL Football on Twitter. So you can go there, and it's an exciting time for the Texas League. It's been growing since its initiation, and this year the Texas Cowgirls are pretty much the top team to beat. And the defending former champs, the McAllen Majestics, will be on their heels in the championship camp to try to reclaim their two-time, hopefully they go two-times winners in that regard. So we'll get into that in the two-minute drill towards the end as well. And then we also have the Legends Football League slate of games. We had YouTube, the Seattle Las Vegas game. We also had in Minnesota, the Minnesota Valkyrie taking on the Chicago Bliss. And then today, this afternoon, based on some logistics that were happening on Saturday with some of the things that didn't show up at the stadium, they had to alter the game to Sunday. And today it was Cleveland versus Philadelphia. And so we'll go into detail about that game as well in a two-minute drill. So if you're new to the show, like I said, you can always call in as well. It's 1-714-888-7418, 1-714-888-7418. We welcome everybody to do retweets and posts based on our show as well. The more we can get it out there, the better. We also want to welcome anybody that wants to have us interview any of your top players in your leagues and try to get us, their name and contact. You can contact us directly on Twitter, or you can message us on Facebook. What we want to do is we want to spotlight the best players currently playing in each league and kind of spotlight them in terms of what the fans need to know and who they are. Because if they're relevant in print and if they're relevant on social media, we want to be able to kind of put a person to a voice and at the same time put a person on air to kind of give the fans a kind of a view as to, what they do on the field to get to be the great players that they are and what they're doing outside of, the football field in terms of person and athletic ability and obviously business sense as well. Some of them are very, very good business-minded individuals. So we want to do that. So if you have anybody in mind from your leagues that maybe nobody's given them any shout-out, please let us know. We will get them on the show and try to schedule a time and date for that and showcase them here. It doesn't matter if they're based in the U.S., Canada, or internationally, we can try to work something out so we can get them on board onto the show. So let's get started with the No Joke Football Huddle. No Joke Football Huddle is sponsored by No Joke Football Brand, and that you can find it at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. And the brand is creative, so you can design your own shirts. You can purchase what's there already. So it's very interactive. It's just be you. You can be yourself. So sport your attitude at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties with the No Joke Football gear. So let's see if we have Sharon on the line here and see if she's on. Sharon, are you on?
Yes,
I'm doing
I am.
Great, Sharon. Thank you for taking your time this afternoon and on Sunday to be with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So, Sharon, the fans kind of know you because you're pretty much a known star in the women's game. You're kind of like a Jen Walter kind of type staple person. And then they know you based on, like I've told the fans before, the Pittsburgh Passion does a very good job of doing things on YouTube and social media and kind of, showcasing the players on their team. So can you tell the fans a little bit about, how long have you played a sport and, how long you've done, you've been in the sport, and give us an idea in terms of, what you've done in the sport.
This has been my 10th year playing, and I love it. Been doing it since I was with the Erie Illusion for a couple years, and then I went to the Pittsburgh Passion. Been there ever since, and it's an awesome organization, and been loving it since. So that's just it. love the game and just been taking sense.
Now, I know, Sharon, you're very, very athletic. I've talked to a lot of people, because I haven't seen you live in a stadium mode, but everybody tells me you're very top-notch in terms of an athletic player. So do you do anything conditioning-wise to keep you at that top level, outside of your normal endeavor? Because I think I read you're in specialty pharmacy. So is there any magic drug you're using to put your level of play out there on the field?
Mm-hmm. No. I do work off-season, a lot of training. We have a training program with our team off-season that we work out and dedicated to just really getting better conditioning and also lifting off-season. So that's pretty much what I do, no special drugs. I actually am no longer in that profession anymore. I'm still in the insurance end of it, a different company. So not much time otherwise, but during season and off-season conditioning and training.
I know it's kind of a full-time job on both sides, because, we talked to all the players how it's more of a hobby in some ways, but it also becomes kind of a full-time job. So the Passion itself, are they very accommodating, as well as your employer, to keep you, accommodation for the dates, the game dates and the travels and all that? Has that been a pretty good, good relationship over the years that you've been playing?
Yeah, my job has been always supportive of my schedule. And it's, like you said, a second job. I go from one job to another. And luckily with the Passion, we have practices in the evenings, which allows everyone to go home and, work, go home, cook dinner, whatever they have to do that day, and still be able to make it to an evening practice or a night practice, which works out pretty good with our work schedule. So we're very fortunate here to have a field that we can utilize that time slot for evenings or whenever we need to adjust our schedule.
Now, I know you guys hosted the first, the national championship in Heinz Field and all that. How was that process, from the beginning of the year and then obviously towards the end of the year when the championship actually happened? Were you guys involved in any way with marketing or spreading the word out within that time in 2012?
Yes, we did a lot of marketing, a lot of going out in the streets, handing out flyers at the baseball games, pirate games, and just really showcasing that women's football is here. We're hosting it. It's going to be in our stadium, and we want to show we call them Steelers Nation here, come out and support women's football. Our Pittsburgh Passion is hosting, and we just put the word out there. We went to neighborhoods. We did it, sent out flyers to community events, just really trying to showcase, to show that Pittsburgh is a great location for women's football as well as the guys' football.
Now, I know you guys have a pretty good relationship with the Steelers because I know I've seen a couple posts with a couple of the players saying that you guys are at, either at training camp or you guys are working together with them in terms of community and charitable stuff. So is it something of a union between you between your club and the NFL club at this point?
We do have a close relationship. We're so thankful for just the opportunities that they give us. Our co-owner, Franco Harris, has been extremely great to us and just really opening up doors for us. Like you said, today the girls were at the training camp working with the females and just the women's camp today, which was an awesome experience. And we do that every single year, which is nice. Also, just our relationships as far as the Play 60s and all those camps and for kids and the different things that the Steelers organizations hold, they always invite us, and it's just a wonderful thing to have with them in a relationship.
Now, I know, Sharon, you went to Vonta, and you were probably the only member of the team that obviously was representing the Passion. Was there something in Vonta? I know a lot of the players were kind of like shifted in terms of positions. Were you at your traditional position, or were you asked to play a different position or a different role?
No, I was at my position, my regular position, a corner. So I felt very comfortable. But, again, we're all at this stage able to move wherever we're needed. If the coach needed us somewhere, we would play our hearts out wherever he needed us at. And so I was always open going into it, even though I did get a chance to play corner. But if I was asked to do anything else, I would have definitely jumped right in.
Now, was Coach Konecki kind of rotating you guys in that sense to try to get everybody some game time play, or was there just a decision based on so many people were going to start and that this is the roster that we're going with for the tournament?
No, we definitely had a rotation between the secondary, which was during the games. And, you know, everyone was rotated in, and everyone played different positions as well. So it's very nice, and everyone was talented. So I don't think there was any special game plan or anything like that. It's just giving each other a break and being supportive for each other. It was just a great experience altogether.
Now, would you say the Konecki playbook is a little bit more intricate than the Passion playbook?
His playbook is a little different. Learn something new, very aggressive. I would say that, you know, the aggressive part of it is different, I would say. But, again, he has a lot in his playbook, and I was grateful just to be a part of it and be able to go into film and just go through that experience with him. He's an awesome coach, and it was a wonderful experience.
Now, was this your second? I believe this was your second go-around with the team at this point. Were you in 2010 as well?
Yeah, I was in 2010. That was in Stockholm, Sweden, and then again this year. So I got to do it two times in a row, which is awesome, and got something different from both of them. But on the same page, met 45 wonderful athletes again, and that's probably one of the best part of it is just meeting those athletes that are just driven the same way you are and that are amazing in what they do and talented in what they do.
Now, in Vonta, you saw the international squads. Which squad impressed you? Was it a particular squad that impressed you in terms of their – you know, their work ethic and maybe their output? And I know, you know, you had the Finnish team coming in, you know, basically as third seeded, and you also had the Canadian team. So which one of those, you know, teams or other teams that you were there and you just kind of like, you know, they amazed you in some ways, saying that maybe they're evolving into a better squad and hopefully the next tournament that they're going to be at a higher seed or maybe compete in a higher level?
I would say the team that surprised me and that, you know, is going, I think they're climbing extremely, it's the Finnish team. They're, since we played them in 2010 just to see their growth, they come so far, and they're really something, putting together something special. Their athletic girls surprised me as well too. So, and every country is coming along, and I think it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. So that was really impressive. I would say the Finnish team. Again, Canada was also great too as well. But out of all the teams, I would say Finnish, and then also Sweden's coming along too. They have so much heart. A lot of times, you know, these girls, you just see them, they don't stop. They don't stop. No matter what the score is, they don't stop, and that's impressive.
Yeah, I kind of saw the evolution, you know, on stats and stuff like that from 2010 to 2013. It just looked like everybody had elevated their game. I mean, Tina Salo, as an example, I think she was a lot more poised, you know, in terms of guiding the offense. And then they had, you know, some good players on defense as well, you know. And some of those teams, I think on the team itself, they basically played together on their club team. So you can equate to kind of like, you know, the Chicago Force of their country in a way, because some of them came off the GS Demons, and they're pretty much a top-notch team in their country in terms of a club scene. So that kind of helped out in a lot of ways. So hopefully the next round, you know, in 2017, they're able to kind of elevate themselves, and they kind of just did a better job in a lot of ways, because they did still stay in third place overall. So they didn't really drop off. If anything, they've like you said, they've probably improved. So, Sharon, tell us a little bit about the passion and what you guys are doing community wise in terms of, you know, girls clinics, youth sports. What are some of the initiatives that you guys have set up there? Because I know on social media, you guys do. Whoever does your media in a sense does a great job on YouTube to kind of highlight you guys as players and obviously highlight a lot of the things that are happening with your team, and it's kind of visible. So it's great to hear. It's great to see that, you know, the organization is doing a lot of things, you know, in terms of a media and an exposure sense.
Yes, you know, each year it's something different with our team, and that's one of the great things about being a part of this great organization, because every year our owners climb, and the sky is the limit. This year was the stadium, of course, and that was more than I could ever imagine, playing in your own stadium, and just being a part of that this year was something in itself. As far as off the field, we reach out to so many communities and young athletes. We have a motto that we teach lessons through life sports. And we're an example to the kids and the youth programs. We go out there and just not say it. We go out there and show that, you know, we're just like you. We come from the same areas you come from. But we can do anything and everything's possible. And, you know, and we just go out there to the schools, you know, to the community events. And we just make our faces known. We just, you know, each day there's always something going on, the passion requests. And that's one of the great things about it. We never turn down. We're always supporting, because they come out and they support us. We have so many fans. So that's the least that we can do, is give back to our communities, give back to the kids, and just be there for whatever's needed in the community.
Now, I know you guys moved into the new stadium. A huge accomplishment, obviously, like you said, for the organization. So what was the turnout at the stadium? Are we talking thousands or close to 1,000? Or what was the average fan base in terms of support coming in? Obviously, with the new
yeah.
deal and everything else.
Yeah, the first actual game was a sellout, which was nice. I believe our owner got the call from Ticketmaster that the tickets were sold out. So that was pretty impressive to be in a new venue and just sell out, you know. But to give credit, each and every game that we have, our fans come out there and they show up. They come back again and again and again. And that's just kudos to the organization for just always putting out the best, you know, and giving their best and marketing, you know, just to get the Pittsburgh fans out there. And this is a Pittsburgh town, you know. Everyone loves the Steelers, and we're just trying to jump on their fans and get them on board.
Now, Sharon, in terms of the fanfare, you guys have the same colors, same atmosphere, kind of like what the Majestics are doing in the Northwest with the Seahawks. So you think that's something of a plus for you guys when you guys are wearing kind of the similar colors and the bright colors and all that?
Yes, I think it's a plus. This is a black and gold town, so why change the colors? And we play for our city, we play for our fans, so it all blends together. And it works well because our guys' team is black and gold as well, so it fits the town.
Yeah, no, it just seems like that's what it is. Can you tell us a little bit about a couple players on your team that the fans should know about? I know your quarterback, everybody should know about your quarterback. She's just all world. So can you tell us a little bit about, a couple players maybe that we're not aware of that contribute? Obviously some of the linemen that maybe that block for you or do amazing things.
Yeah. Of course, our quarterback, Lisa Horton, she's an awesome athlete. One of the best quarterbacks in the league, which she'll be at the WFA All-Star Game. So, but Rachel Wadowski, one of our top receivers, and Amanda Haig and Angela Baker. The offense this year has been great in the passing game. So I couldn't give justice enough to all those receivers and the offense that, offensive line that, blocks for her. But those ladies on offense have been amazing. Their stats show it, and it's great to be on their team and be a part of, the passion. So, and on defense, we have so many players. Olivia Griswold, she was also on the 2010 National USA team. So, but these ladies are phenomenal, and it's awesome to be on their team and I'm glad they're my teammates.
Now, Sharon, you guys haven't had much success in terms of a playoff push or a national championship push, consistently. So what do you think, is it the division, the toughness of playing maybe D.C. and Boston that contributes to that? Because, a lot of the other teams that I see on the schedule, they come out of a region where maybe the competition isn't as fierce. But in your division, it just seems like you guys are really tested in a playoff mode from game one to the eighth game, and then all of a sudden, it's pretty tough to get to another two or three games after that. So do you think your division has a lot to do with the fact that you guys haven't gone deep in the playoffs within the couple years that you've been in?
I can say that, we're in a tough area with the DC Divas. Boston, it's just tough, and give credit to those great teams. Those are two huge organizations that are powerhouses. And we like to consider ourselves up there with them, and it's just every time we hit the playoffs, that section is going to be a battle between Boston, D.C., and Pittsburgh. It just is what it is, and we've learned to accept it, so... and you know what? We're getting better. We're growing. This year we were growing on defense. So I like to say that next year that, we get back in there again and give it a run for. So, but again, kudos to those big teams like Boston and Chicago. They always bring their A game every single time. They're one of the great franchises in this league, and they're just amazing teams. So, and I would say that, every year we see them, and it's always a battle, so that's something in itself.
So you really feel the East Coast teams are probably a lot more competitive than any others in the league, if you had to say that, because that's the way I equate it right now. I really think you guys are more tested more frequently on a week-to-week basis. I mean, the first game against D.C., you guys were literally neck and neck, and it was either a toss-up, either one or the other was going to score and kind of separate themselves. So I think really when you look at your region, in a sense, with your scheduling, you really don't have that many non-competitive teams, like you said, because you really have some caliber playoff teams. So that could be a situation where you guys are, just falling short a little bit in terms of, getting beat by a better squad on a certain day. So Sharon, tell us a little bit about Vonta. How was your trip? kind of give the fans a little bit about, you know, where you kicked off. Did you get out of Pittsburgh? You flew out there and then you landed. And how was the atmosphere and the reception at the World Championships?
It was a wonderful experience. I actually flew out of Boston. So, of course, that weekend we played the Boston team, and I flew out from Boston to Chicago for training camp, and then from Chicago to Finland, as a team to Finland. So the experience has been a lot of football on the road. So in Finland, it was a great experience just being there amongst other countries that, you know, love the game. That was the best thing about it. I got to see a lot of girls who love the game and just interacting with the other countries, you know, and they love us, you know. They really love this game, and they love what we bring to the game. And that's special because, you know, we have great athletes here. But just to be able to share, it's about growing and allowing the sport to grow and being pioneers is just an awesome feeling. So I would say that the Finland trip was great, and players and the 45 roster that we shared together was awesome.
Now, I know you guys were there and had a great time. The after party probably good, and you guys were, you know, getting a little fluids going. So how was the after party at this point after the tournament and everything? You know, you guys got your gold medal and everything going. How was the atmosphere after the tournament?
It was wonderful. You know, it's something about partying after a win. So winning gold medal and just being able to share that last day with our teammates and just, you know, celebrate and just really enjoying that moment because, you know, that's something that we'll always remember for the rest of our lives, winning that gold and just being able to share it with those girls and have a good time and just, you know, being around the other countries and just saying, you know, hey, we did this, and that was just something, and having a good time afterwards was just awesome.
Now, USA Football being on board, really, you know, with the addition of the IFAB, you know, partnership, how do you see USA Football now evolving with the women's game? Because you guys are like really now a tab, if you really want to consider it. You guys are a tab now on the USA Football website with the under-19, the under-16, the seniors, the youth. So you're really part of that group now. So how does it feel to be part of the international scope now with USA Football being involved as a kind of a spearheading motion now?
It's great. USA Football has been so great, and with Sam Rappaport and just the whole crew, really showcasing women's football and just allowing the nation to see that there are athletes out here and they are great athletes. And it's been growing. And I know that, you know, there's women's flag now. They have it showcased and now tackle. And, you know, women's sports are taking over. And that's just something that, you know, USA Football hasn't, you know, stopped showing. You go on their page and, you know, we're front and center. So it's really nice to see. And they've been taking it to the next level and really allowing us. We had the tryout this year that was awesome. And, you know, we're really now blooming and taking it to the next level and letting everyone know that there are awesome athletes in the United States and they're here.
Now, Sharon, you've been part of the league for a long time in terms of, you know, the WFA. Do you see the progress continuing with the league in terms of making strides for, you know, everybody that we talk to is thinking maybe it's time for the league to kind of logistically rethink itself and put together maybe a 12 team super squad, and we all talk about money because obviously it takes money to do something, but do you feel like, you know, at some point this league might evolve into a super league where it might actually divide itself into a top-notch team and maybe semi-top less teams and in a different division sense, in other words, so that you can showcase the DCs, the Bostons, and you know, the Pittsburgh teams that are obviously a lot better quality in terms of competitiveness?
Yeah, I would definitely like to see that because you have these great powerhouse teams, even on the West Coast, Dallas and San Diego, and all these teams that are powerhouse teams. It would be nice to put them into a category of 12, you know, teams or the best the franchise teams, and really showcase. And that's where you get your fans at, and they come out for a good show, and allow the sport to grow and everyone to see exactly what women's football is about. You know, I wish that, you know, the tier teams could have their own sort of section. I think that would help for the women's football, and then to separate the other teams, because it does, you know, put a weak link in the schedule with having a blowout game from 60-0. You know, fans don't want to see that, and it's just not typically a great look for women's football. So it would be nice to showcase the talent and really have those power teams play each other, because it's a great game every time we match up. It really is. And it just showcases the talent. It's just great for women's football together.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen a couple of matchups. You know, we had the feed on Media Boss, and then you guys had your feed on, I believe it's Champ Sports. And it is really good, you know, quality NFL-type quality football. And when you get down to the wire, like we watched the D.C. game versus you guys, and it was, you know, down to the wire, 35-26 or so, and now it's getting, you know, somebody who's going to score, and you got the, you know, the last 2 to 3 5 minutes of the game, and it's pretty edge competitive knee. So I think really, you know, that's the type of atmosphere that fans will be drawn to if it was competitive week in, week out. But to your point, yeah, it really becomes a disappointment when you go see a 35-34 game or a pretty close game, and the next week you see a 66-0 game. So it's kind of like, okay, this is what I came to see. So, but, you know, I think you're really, you guys are in a good position, from what I can tell, that your region is pretty competitive. So that makes it for entertaining football.
Yes, it does.
Well, now, Sharon, let's talk about 2014. Are we on board for 2014, or are we deciding against not playing in 2014? What's you know, Sharon's mindset right now? Does it still go for another season, or are we rethinking our career?
Well, 2014 is still up. On my off season, I really transitioned into flag football, so I try to put aside the tackle part of it. I've had such an amazing year, so. I don't want to say I'm all out, but right now I'm just putting it on the back burner right now and focusing on flag and you know, we'll go back to it again next year.
Now, what does flag do for you in terms of conditioning? Does it give you more of a, I mean, what does it do for you in terms of transitioning from the tackle and then going into flag for a certain amount of time? Does it give you better agility, or how does it benefit you?
Flag is more of a speed game, and it works particularly on your speed, more in coverage and with open space. I like to call it open space. It works on, for me, just being in that open space one-on-one with a receiver on a large field. So, and it's more of a speed game, and the flag is typically a specialist game. So it's usually wide receivers and D-backs skill position. So.
All right, great. Well, I'm waiting for Rachel here to come on board so we can chat a little longer if that's the case, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, Rachel Gore, that was my roommate in Finland. So she's a great athlete. So.
Yeah, I know you guys were bunking beds together, so is there anything silliness that you can tell the fans about Rachel Gore right now? I mean, I don't want to throw her to the bus or anything, but is there a specific thing that she does to get ready for game day?
You know, she's pretty entertaining, and she's funny. She's all laughs. She's a great person to be around, and very self-motivated. She's ready to go. She knows she plays multiple positions. So at the drop of the dime, she could be a quarterback, safety, corner, one of the most talented athletes that I've seen. So, but a great person, yes.
Now, did you guys fly together down there, or did you guys just, you know, was there just a hey, a name out of a hat, and here's Rachel, that's your bunk bed buddy, or was it a prearranged from camp or something like that?
Yeah, I believe Coach Konecki prearranged and put all the running backs together, all the defensive backs, quarterbacks. And so she was, our names were called together, so she had to suffer and get me. But you know what? One of the things that
so
I
you're,
enjoyed
so
about
you're a very accommodating person, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But one of the things that I enjoyed is that usually we spend each, you know, playing games against these East Coast teams. And so you don't really get to know the West Coast girls as much. So being able to know her and meet her and just, you know, I got a Seattle buddy for life now, so.
Yeah, and they had a great season too. You know, I'm kind of happy to kind of chat with her about that season, because I know we've had other two Majestics on here, and they were pretty excited about their season and about how, you know, they evolved. And obviously they lost to Utah at some point, but it really became a situation where they did pretty well this year. They started off really hot, and they got to the end there where they just got bounced off a little bit. But was she pretty excited about her season?
Yeah, she was pretty excited. Again, I believe this was a new adventure for her. So, and it was nice because I'd done this before. So just to kind of tell her, you know, all of her jitters and her nerves and just being so excited and just about the experience. So it was great going through that, because I remember my first time and going through it and just not knowing what to expect and just being overwhelmed with the whole experience of representing your country. So just to see that in her eyes was just special, and being able to be there and witness it, and well-deserved, you know, for her, awesome player all around. So
awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about the, you know, the gathering on the way back? I mean, was it emotional, or was everybody thrilled on the fly back? Was everybody kind of excited, you know, to obviously have your gold medal, and you probably have a second gold medal at this point. So, you know, was everybody totally stoked when they hit the plane and on the way back home?
You know, I think as we were coming home, it started to hit in that we're going to leave each other. And so it got really emotional, because during the course of just spending, we spent so much time together and getting to know each other and creating this awesome bond. And just coming home was just like, we know our time is ticking, where we're going to go back to our, you know, our areas and our cities, and this is going to be over. So I think that was just the hardest part. But the great thing about it is we've experienced something together, and that we'll always be teammates. Wherever we go, whether it's Dallas or New York, we'll always have a home, because we've created a nice bond, the 45-man roster, so.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, because that's really what it's all about. It's, you know, the teamwork and getting everybody involved and trying to get everybody to kind of put themselves at a high level, and then they gratified because they made their efforts to do it. So that's a great thing to hear, too, as well. So I'm going to see if she's on. I'm trying to see if she's going to come on at this point and go from there, but it doesn't seem like she's coming on at this point. So we'll find out here in a couple minutes. Well, if you can, I will let you go, and have a great Sunday afternoon, and we'll catch up down the road in terms of the next season,
and again,
in terms of 2014.
You. Yeah, thank you for definitely having me.
Not a problem, and we look forward to maybe another time, before 2014, kind of chat about, you know, what's going to be going on with the Pittsburgh Passion. And, you know, your drive for obviously 2014 and the season coming up, that's going to go in that sense.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. And I look forward to hearing from you later on.
Awesome, Sharon. Thank you for making the time. Really appreciate it. And we look forward to that coming up in 2014, because I know you guys are kind of, you know, in a good run, and hopefully success is there for a playoff push. And that would be amazing for you guys.
Yes, me too. All right.
Awesome. Thank you, and have safe travels. I hope, you know, that the Sunday goes well for you, and I appreciate you making the time to our show today.
Now, will you be at the national game in San Diego?
I'm I'm not going to be able to make it, unfortunately. I have other things that came up with some family things that came up, but I will be monitoring it on Twitter. And I know a couple of you girls are going to be tweeting out there too, so we'll just be retweeting and doing the feedback as well for that. So we're good for that. But I plan on next year really making an effort to kind of travel on the West Coast primarily because I have some family things that are going on. But hopefully next year I will be able to travel between San Diego and probably Northern California because we're situated out here in Monterey.
Okay.
So between that time. So hopefully I can make that priority next year. And then wherever the championship game is, maybe I can meet up with you guys and finally go face-to-face with you guys and kind of chat up.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
All right. So, Sharon, right. Thank you again, and look forward to having a great off-season and stay healthy. And we look forward to the Passion in 2014 then.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Great. So, that was Sharon Vasquez from the Pittsburgh Passion, and she is basically world-class. She was on the Team USA squad that was in Vantaa, Finland, and she's going to be pretty much looking forward to 2014 for the Pittsburgh Passion. So I'm going to go ahead and see if we can get the other person here on the line, which is Rachel, see if we have her. We're having some technical difficulties here with the feed, so I will see if I can get that back up here in a second here. So just give me a couple minutes here so I can get that up and running. But exciting times coming up in this week. August 3rd, a lot of football is going to be played coming up this week. You have the WFA Championship. You also have, as well as the IWFL in Round Rock. You have the WFA in San Diego. There's a couple of events happening with the Sugar and Spice Football League. Tickets go on sale on August 1st towards the SSFL Super Bowl. You also have a lot of the other leagues that are doing a lot of things in this August. So hopefully that's something that will be something that is exciting for everybody to come up with and kind of dive into the women's game, which is happening pretty much all next weekend. It's kind of exciting. And you also have the lessons games coming up on the weekend slate as well. So it kind of helps out in that sense to kind of put together a situation where everybody's playing on that weekend. It's kind of exciting for fans and for us to dive into it and kind of get the results. You have Sammy Grisafi taking on, the Dallas Diamonds, which is Jen Wilker and, Brittany Bushman, top-notch team, Chicago. So you've got a situation there where things are going to be a great game, hopefully. Dallas against Chicago, top-notch two squads. And we're hoping that that's going to be the case in that, in the sense that it will become a great game in regards to that. And then in the Sugar and Spice Football League, you also have, the McAllen Mystics coming back to defend and trying to take on the Texas Cowgirls. So hopefully that, that's a situation where that game will turn out as good as it would be. And then you have two other games, including that. So we'll see how that, that transpires in that sense. So let me get the feed up here. I'm working on that right now. I do apologize for that. Hopefully we'll get that going here at this point and get Rachel on the line here so we can get her going as well. And so just bear with me a second here. And we'll take care of that. There we go. So, like I said, and then we have the Mexican leagues kicking off as well. So you have the leagues in Mexico. The Pretty Girls Football League is really going to be taking off as well this April. Started the tryouts, and then all of a sudden now it's August. So it's going to branch out into, something that hopefully it's going to mature into a first league. They're into their first season, and they're working on trying to get, the logistics set in Mexico for the first season. And hopefully they'll be able to do it because they really have high hopes. They got good sponsors going on there, and they get it. They get the situation where they'll be able to grow the league, and logistically, hopefully, they will have good games coming up. And Sunrise East against the Evil Queens was another matchup that was working on that. Hopefully they will get to a stage where it becomes top-notch play in Mexico and get us a level of competitiveness that we expect for football. So let me see if I can get this going here. I do apologize, so I can get Rachel on here as well. And then I have Chad coming on as well. So let's see if we can get that going here. We have a little technical difficulty here, and I do apologize for that. I'm trying to get that going onto the feed. Let's see here. There we go. And here we go. There it is. So we should get Rachel on the line here. Let's see if she's on, and then we'll go ahead and take care of that. And at the top of the hour, we got Chad coming in as well. So we should have a good time here in a couple minutes here. Like I said, I do apologize for the technicals. It's just a little difficulty here. And let's get that going here. Still having a hard time trying to set it up here and get it going for us here. There we go. All right. So let's see here. Let's see if this will work and we can get Rachel on the line here. And my feed is not working, so let's see how that goes here. Well, let's see what we can do here. In the meantime, I'll be working on it, and we'll just chat away here until we get that taken care of. But great games this weekend, obviously, in the Legends game. You had top-notch teams vying for a playoff spot. You had Minnesota coming in with really no hopes for their season, and they were facing Heather Furr and, obviously, Chris Del Harris. And they're top-notch athletes in the game. And they were, you know, at the Target Center. It's kind of an exciting event. We had some folks tweeting us at the Target Center, kind of giving us the updates. And so it worked out pretty well in terms of the Chicago Bliss taking care of the Minnesota Valkyrie. And so 25-12. And so Crystal Harris kind of showcased her might in that sense, and she did have a great game. She put together a great outing in that regard, and so it was pretty much a great atmosphere at the Target Center. So well, hopefully that will transpire into the next game going forward because they faced the Green Bay Chill. Let's see if we can get Rachel on the line here. And we have Rachel, are you on the line?
I'm right here, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Hello?
Thank you for Rachel.
Okay.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Thanks for coming on this Sunday. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I just had some technical difficulties there, so I apologize for that. Just a little bit out of whack there. But thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Tell us a little bit, Rachel, about you and how many seasons and then, you know, your experience this year with the Majestics.
Sure, yeah. So I've been playing for the Majestics since 03, on and off, so altogether about 6 seasons. And this year I was coming off a 2-year break. I finished school, and I came back and I wanted to play quarterback. And so while I was on those 2 years off, I was just working on my craft, and I came and I fought for that spot, and I got it, and we had a heck of a season this year. So I'm looking forward to the next one and just getting better. For next season. So.
Now,
yeah.
Rachel, we just talked to Sharon. She tells us great things about you, so I don't know if there's any lies there, but we hear you had a great time in Vonta. Tell us a little bit about how that experience was when you were chosen, and were you excited that you were chosen for the slot?
Yeah, it was, for me, it was unbelievable, you know, like I've been playing for a while, and I've been playing since I was in high school too, you know, so it's been a journey for me, you know, and for it to come to being selected for Team USA, it was like a dream come true for me. So I was, like, in disbelief when I was selected, and it was very humbling, and I was honored, you know, to represent our country. So it was a really great experience for me, and,
you know, going to the training camp was just like, I was just blessed to be there and be around people that just have a passion for football the same as I do. And going over to Finland, representing the USA with 45 of the best women's football players, that was just, it was just fun. It was work, but it was like the type of work that, you know, I live for, you know, football, football every day. And it was just a blessing, you know what I mean? So I was happy to be over there, and it just pushed me into to my potential, which I love, and I thrive on that. So it was a great experience.
So now, Rachel, tell us a little bit about the transition. I know you were playing running back and strong safety, and was there something I know the coach was asking players, obviously, to adjust their position. So you weren't a quarterback. So what position were you playing on the team in Vonta?
I was playing corner, and I was a little nervous about that because, you know, all season I'm over here playing quarterback and standing in the pocket, not having much contact, you know, so going from that to, like, press coverage and being really aggressive every down, that was definitely a mental transition and a physical transition that I had to step up and make that happen, you know what I mean? So that was interesting. It was fun, though, and I really channeled myself and, like, into my position on the field. So that was fun, and it was a challenge, but I rose to that occasion, so it was all good.
Now, the playbook, the Konecki playbook, was it too extensive than what the Majestic playbook is, or was it similar in a lot of ways?
You're talking about his defense or his offense?
Well, you were on your side of the ball, I mean.
Well, I feel like they run spread offense, they run a high-powered offense, they don't have any no huddle, so it's similar, but it's different in certain aspects. We like to pass the ball a lot. We like to, you know, mix it up and pass it and run and all that too. I think that our athletes, you know, we're a young team, so we have a lot of people that are at different levels, and I think that that might be a difference maker in the way that you run your offense as far as that goes. But defensively, we ran a lot of the same stuff, and I had another teammate on there with me, Campy, Campolo, that she was excited about the defense because it was kind of like the same. Well, actually, the defense was, I remember, like, in training camp, we were going over that, and it was a nasty defense, and we were all excited to run it. You know, everybody's IQ was up there, so they could just throw stuff at us, and we would just, you know, absorb it, and we could translate it on the field. So that was awesome. They had a lot of stunts for us and, like, blitz packages and stuff like that. So that it was exciting, and I think that it was definitely a step up from what we're used to running because we like to run a lot of just base defenses out in Seattle. But, you know, they had us flying around and swarming for USA, and that was a lot of fun.
So now, will you consider this concept more brutal than your play in a lot of ways, and more aggressive?
Yeah, just because of the personnel, you know what I mean? You have everybody there that's a top-notch athlete, and not to say that, you know, my own team, we don't have good athletes or anything like that, but we've been selected to do something, you know, because of our skill level and our knowledge of the game. So, of course, it's going to be a lot more aggressive and, you know, a lot more thrown at you, and, you know, you got to show that you can perform and at a high level, you know what I mean?
Right. So are you planning 2017 as a goal to return maybe to the Team USA squad, or is it something that you're planning to hit now since you've experienced this, just like Sharon obviously did it in 2010? Do you feel like maybe you're inclined to go into 2017 for the roster spot?
Definitely. God willing, I would love to do that. You know, it's a opportunity, you know, of a lifetime, and just it's a great atmosphere to be in, whether you're, you know, a veteran or if you're a rookie, you know, just having that experience to go and compete like that. You know, you learn so much just from going to the tryout. So, yeah, I definitely want to go again.
Now, I know, Rachel, you guys changed your colors and in season for this season, and it's basically, you know, Seattle colors. So are you going Russell Wilson next season? Are you going to elevate your game to that type of level, or – who do you emulate in terms of an NFL quarterback?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That is who I like to emulate. He's a smaller guy. You know, I'm a smaller female. So, you know, you got to be, like, you have to look for your passing lanes, you know, and try to – I'm mobile and he's mobile. We have a lot of similarities, so I definitely – he's one of my favorite players. And well, a lot of people, our fans, would, like, compare. You know, they're like, oh, that's our female Russell Wilson. So it's like, that's kind of funny you brought that up. But, yeah, definitely going to work hard on the offseason to step my game up, because that was my first year in that position. And so I learned a lot, and I want to continue learning and getting better, you know.
Right. So if you had to give any props out, you know, on the radio to obviously somebody that obviously covers your butt on a week-to-week basis, is there one or two names, or is it the whole offensive line that you're just going to give a shout-out now?
Yeah, my whole O-line, they are so incredible. Like, I didn't have to worry about anything this year. Like, it was incredible just, like, how much time I had and how much trust that I had in those guys. And just waiting back there in the pocket, you know what I mean? I never got mad at those guys. I felt like they were always on point, always doing their job. So definitely my whole O-line, and give a shout-out to those ladies.
Now, you had some wide receivers and some wideouts, and so is there any a couple in particular that you you know, you have a favoritism to? I know you were going to say no, but I'm pretty sure there's one person that obviously snatches the ball a lot more than everybody else. So is there a particular person that stands out on your receiving core that you enjoy throwing the ball to, and obviously you know it's going to be glue on hands to catch it?
You know, all of my receivers this year were just, they were varsity, you know what I mean? Everybody was clutch, you know. When I needed them to make a play in a certain situation, they stepped up and they made that play. So that was really awesome. No one receiver was like, you know, stand out, like, oh, I need to get the ball to them or whatever, because it was like, I like to share the ball, you know, in a certain situation. You know, you can't always go to one player because the defense is going to, you know, key on that and they're going to shut that down. So I just had playmakers all around me and I just shared the ball and, you know, everybody stepped up when they needed to, so.
Now, I know you guys were disappointed in Utah, or not necessarily in the Utah team, but you guys were disappointed, obviously, in the loss in Utah. What can you tell us about the Utah team that maybe surprised you on that last game, you know, obviously to get to a postseason bid? Do you think they were just a better team that day, or what was the end result, atmosphere, your emotions after? Was it something that you guys did that you could have done better, or was it just they just were a better team that day?
Yeah, you know, they have a lot of heart, and that is something that's huge in football. You know, who wants it more? And that day they grinded it out. You know, that was a tough game. It was a tough loss, but I respect the Utah Jinx. They're a great team and great rival.
Now, you had to, if you had to take away anything from that game, was there something that you took away that in that game that was a positive for you? That, you know, obviously there's a loss behind it, but what was the positive that you could probably, you know, disclose to us right now that you guys did pretty well in that game, but just came up short, obviously, with either time or obviously,
you know,
they just played better?
You know, I just feel like football is the ultimate team sport, and I feel like our team, we stayed a team throughout that whole game. Nobody, you know, broke down and pointed the finger at anybody. We fought through the whole entire game. Nobody gave up, you know, and I feel like that's huge. And for next season as well, because, you know, we might have left it out on a low note on the loss, but at the same time, we stayed a team and we just stayed united, and that's huge.
All right. So, Rachel, tell us a little bit about Vonta. I talked to Sharon about the after party. Tell us a little bit about after winning the gold medal, and you got your gold medal, and you know, how was that after the tournament? You're crowned as champions. Now you go to the after party, and I know everybody had a good time with the other squads and stuff, but is there any memories you can tell us about, you know, you had a great time with maybe another team or a couple players from another team, or how that worked out?
Yeah, it was really cool because, you know, we're out there in Finland and we just want to embrace the culture. And afterwards, it's like we all stepped out. We went to one of their little club spots and everything, and we see everybody there, and we're all just united, and we're sisters, you know, in football now. So that was really cool to just see, like, the Germans there and show them some love, and Sweden guys are over there. So it was really cool to just come together after that tournament, and, you know, everybody was having a good time. So that was a lot of fun.
Now, you played, you know, you played on some quality championship teams here. Do you feel like the Majestics are going to be, like, let's say maybe the Boston Militia or Chicago Force of the West? You guys have San Diego Surge as, you know, the big top-notch competitors out there in California. Do you feel like transitioning into this into the WFA has basically made you guys a better squad?
Well, you know, every year it has to do with recruiting, you know, and I feel like we're getting our name out there more and more, and every year we get better and better athletes, you know, just from our recognition on what we do. We've been a very solid team for, you know, 10 years, and, you know, I think that has something to do with it, but I do feel like we have the potential to be a great force in the West, you know what I mean? I think that this league and our division is getting bit, like, just like how it is in the NFL, you know, it shifts, and so I feel like it is shifting here in the West Coast, and we are becoming a better team. We're making a name for ourselves, so we want to continue to do that and continue to recruit and get better every year, so, yeah.
Awesome. And I know, you know, the loss in Utah is probably one of the drawbacks on it, but, you know, everybody, you know, throughout the season, everybody had you guys pretty much as, you know, the team to beat. So is that impressive for you guys? Is that something that you guys take into account that now, you know, people are noticing the fact that you guys are a quality top-notch team?
Yeah, it makes me want to work harder. You know, you start getting a target on your back, and you definitely got to rise to that occasion and just – you know, play your game, you know, and just keep working hard. And, you know, everybody does their one job and it comes together on the field. And, you know, that's just what we want to do and strive for.
Now, you guys transitioned to the Seahawks colors. Have you guys gotten any, you know, more positive reception now from the older colors in the community, or as you guys are, you know, as fans are interacting with you guys?
You know, at first when we made the switch, some players were a little leery of it. They were like, people aren't going to know who we are and, you know, just worry about it. But, you know, once we hit the field, everybody was like, man, we look sharp. And it was exciting. Our fans were excited by it, too. So, you know, that went away real quick. And I love the colors, you know. I like the accent. And I just like to look good, you know, play good. So that's, for me, it's a good thing. It's a good switch. And I like the more Northwest you know, traditional colors as well.
All right. So, Rachel, what can we expect from you next season? Are you planning to come back? Is this something that you're moving on? I know a lot of players have to make a decision in the off season. Is this something that you're considering at this point, or is it a go for 2014 and you are returning?
Definitely. It's definitely a go. You know, I'm only got 1 year under my belt as a quarterback, and I want to see – you know, where my potential, where I can take it, you know what I mean? So I've only had 1 year with my receiving core, and I just want to build that chemistry even more over the off season and through the next season. So I'm excited for next year for sure.
So can we say the Utah Jinx is a bullseye right now? Are they the bullseye for you right now to get over the hump for the next season?
Most definitely. We're definitely trying to get past the second round next year, and I think right now we just need to have that, know that feeling of that loss, and just let it motivate us.
Now, who would you say is your biggest rival right now if you had to pick out of the teams in your division? Is it Portland? Is it going to be, you know, Everett? Who would you consider your biggest rival right now for the next season?
I think Utah's not in our division, I don't think. I would say them, but, yeah, out of our division, I think, yeah, it's Everett, Tacoma, Portland, and the Phillies. It's kind of a tie for me between the Phillies and the Shock. Actually, no, it's not. I think the Shockwave. The last game that we played against them was like, whoa. You know, they came to play, you know, and we kind of got punched in the mouth a little bit by them, so I think that that's definitely our rival. They've been our rival for a long time, and so – being in this new league, you know, you kind of want to see what we're working with, and they're still there, so I would just have to go with the Shockwave again.
All right, so now you had a successful season, obviously, you know, minus the playoff berth at this point, but pretty successful season. So do you feel like you guys are a better offensive unit in terms of, you know, as a team, or is it a little balanced on both sides of the ball?
I would say we've always been known as a defensive team, and, you know, this year we did definitely step it up on offense. You know, we had a lot of playmakers around us, you know, as far as wide receivers and running backs and all that. You stepping in at quarterback has made a difference, I think. But I do feel like finally our offense was complementing our defense, you know, and when we were having a bad game, the defense would carry us and vice versa. So I definitely think all around we stepped our game up. And so I think that was the difference maker this year.
Awesome. So now, you know, you're one of the top teams in the WFA, and based on, you know, obviously output and wins and stuff, do you think the 8-game season is enough, or would you prefer to have more games within the season?
I think we all as a whole team would like to have a couple more like preseason games, you know, just to get the jitters out and kind of get more finite in our, you know, our offense and our defense. Just, you know, I think that would be a good look. So
now everybody, I'll throw some things at you, but everybody thinks that. Going forward here, maybe in a couple of years, that the WFA should really start considering putting together like maybe a super league, which is the top quality teams nationwide. Do you feel that would be a great thing for women's football to put together maybe six West Coast best teams, six East Coast best teams, and then put it together and maybe in a super league status?
That's interesting. That would be kind of cool, I think. But, you know, if it happens, it happens. And, you know, that would be fun to watch for sure.
All right. So we know San Diego is top-notch in the West. We obviously know now that you guys are top-notch in the West. Would you throw Utah in the mix as top-notch in the West?
I think that they definitely – they're a good team, you know. Has to do with great teams. You know, they got bumped out in the second round, and they don't have a lot of depth, but I feel like they'd be a lot more dangerous if they had more depth. So, you know, they came to our game with, I think, 30 players or something like that, but they play like they have 45. So, yeah, I think they're definitely a team that you can't overlook them at all. So.
All right. So, Rachel, I'm going to put you on the spot. We have next weekend. It's obviously the national championship, San Diego. You have your
mm-hmm.
teammate, Sammy Grisafi, and you have your
mm-hmm.
teammate, Brittany Bushman and Odessa Jenkins, and you've seen all of them play, and you obviously know what they're capable of. So would you say Chicago over Diamonds or Diamonds over Chicago?
I feel like you're going to ask me that. this is tough. I know more players on Chicago now than I do Dallas. They're both really great teams. Have a lot of respect for all of those guys you just named. You know, they're awesome players. Shoot. Feel like I'm on NFL Network trying to make a pick right now.
So what I'm going to do is I'll give you the 30-second pause to think about before you get chastised by one of the other, you know, messages. How
okay.
dare you pick this mentality? So no, I'm just kidding. So you really think it's gonna be a clash? Everybody thinks it's gonna be a clash because you know you have Odessa, Brittany Bushman, you got Walter, you got everybody. You know
mm-hmm.
Dallas has always been pretty good, top notch defense. Chicago has played tremendously this season defensively, and then obviously offensively they've been just a juggernaut in scoring. And I don't think
yeah.
Dallas has scored as enough, and I don't think they've played.
Mm-hmm.
probably as competitive teams as maybe Chicago has. But, I mean, given the record that they've had in the playoff run, you have to probably give the edge to the Force, would you say?
I mean, I agree with what you're saying. And you never know once you put a team on the spot so what they're going to do as far as, like, the Diamonds. You know, they've been there. Their team has, you know, championships under their belt. I don't know if Chicago – if they've won one yet, but I mean, they have such a high powered offense. Yeah, I think that I'm kind of leaning towards Chicago. So.
Yeah, and I talked to Jeanette Gray, and they have a bitter taste in their mouth losing to San Diego,
mm-hmm.
you know, at Heinz Field, and
mm-hmm.
I told her they kind of reminded me of the '99 Rams. They were just you know unstoppable. they look like they're on
yeah.
a mission. They have no care for who's on the other side of the ball. It just seems like they just
yeah.
score at will. They just have been putting up almost 50 points a game. That's pretty scary when you go up against somebody that believes truly that they're here to win. And it's just like I joke with her. You could just put the sign at the door saying, thanks for coming, and you can just turn around now because, you know, you're not going to get any type of feel for it. But, you know, that was kind of a joke motion because you still have to play the game. But I think Dallas, Bushman against Grisafi, kind of a great classic matchup there. And then you got Bergman, and you got Gray against Odessa Jenkins and the other squad on the Diamond. So you have, you know, world-class athletes on both sides of the ball, and I think that's going to make for a great matchup.
Yeah, I just think that Chicago does have a lot of momentum going into this game, so I think that's where the difference is. So.
Yeah. So are you going to be in San Diego, or are you going to catch it like we are on Twitter and updates and feeds like that with the ESPN feed and all that?
Oh, I'm going to San Diego, so I'm going to play the All-American game, and then I can't wait to see the championship game. So. And to see everybody from USA there, we're going to have a little reunion, so that's going to be fun and exciting as well. So,
great. So so I will basically, at this point, do you have a score? Can you give us a score? Do you think it'll be a very high-scoring game? Or?
Let's go. I'll say 34 to 27, Chicago.
34-27?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So that sounds fair. I mean, because like I said, both defenses are going to be tested. Both offenses seem to be on cue, and they have good quality staffing and stuff like that. You got to see Odessa Jenkins. Would it be a desirable player to have on your team?
Oh, most definitely. She is slippery. She's a shifty back. She runs like Barry Sanders. I mean, she's awesome. I love watching her run.
Now, who else on your squad, when you're in Vonta, you know, that you, if you had to draft, who else would you take on your team?
Well, being that I was a corner and I got to see all the wide receivers rotate, I would say Jeanette Gray is an awesome player. She's definitely a varsity player, and she's a hell of an athlete, so I would definitely take her. Jen Walter hit me, so... I got my belt rung by her. We're on defense together, and that's the hardest I think I was hit the whole tournament. So I definitely have to take her. That's my girl. So, yeah, I'll stick with those picks right there.
Now, and you can't forget Campy because she's on your team. But if you had to put Campy, do you think Campy would fit well with the Diamonds or the Force?
Oh, are you saying like I would draft him to the either team as far as the championship squad.
If you had to put her on one of those teams, do you think she'd be a real asset now at this point?
Yeah, maybe Dallas. You know, I'm not sure their whole linebacking core, but Campy, you know, she definitely knows how to fill the hole, and she will let you know she's there. So she's a good player for that.
Awesome. So, Rachel, thank you for coming on board with us. I really appreciate your time. I know we had to get the staff at your team to get you and all that. Can you tell the fans a little bit about where they can find you on social media? Are you on Facebook, Instagram, or are you on Twitter? How can they stay and engage with you towards the 2014 Majestic season?
Yeah, I'm not too much into social media, but I do have a Facebook page. So, I mean, I'm on there, Rachel Gore. Just hit me up on there, so...
If they need to get a hold of you, do they go through the Seattle Majestic site as a preference, or can they just message you on Facebook?
Yeah, either way. We have our team website, theseattlemajestics.com, or, you know, you just hit me up on Facebook.
All right. So, Rachel, is there anything else you want to tell your fans about the season that you guys had this year, you know, the expectations about, you know, next year? And obviously, you're the leader of the pack, as they say. You're the Russell Wilson. So, can you tell us can you tell the fans a little bit what they need to expect next season from your squad?
Next year, you know, we're definitely going for the ship, and we're never going to stop working hard. And we want to represent for our city and for our fans out there, and just make them proud. So, can't wait to see them next season.
Awesome. So. Rachel, thank you for taking the time today. I really appreciate it. Look forward to maybe another chat going down the line here in 2014 as you guys get into the season and see how the season evolves, and maybe we can bring you on for one of the weeks that obviously you guys are working with and towards the playoffs and kind of chat football. And I really entertaining. You have a lot of feedback. I really, was entertained with your knowledge of the game. And I know you're going to be a great quarterback next season because you have the passion for it. So I continue success for you and towards the next season and stay healthy. And hopefully, like you said, the Majestics will ride the ship into the playoffs and the national championship as well.
For sure. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Awesome. So, Rachel, thank you. Enjoy your afternoon in the North Pacific, Northwest. And we'll look forward to, like I said, maybe next season chatting up. Otherwise, if you need anything, any help with the community, get the word out, let us know, and we can get it out for you guys as well. So if you guys want to come on board and to do something that you're doing in the community in that sense.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me.
All right. Enjoy your Sunday afternoon. Thanks again.
Okay, bye.
All right, so that was Rachel Gore, and she's the leader of the Seattle Majestics quarterback. And she was on Team USA, which we talked to Sharon Vasquez as well. And she was on Team USA with the rest of the caliber players that she's talking about. You know, Sammy Grisafi, you had Odessa Jenkins, Brittany Bushman, a lot of the top-notch Team USA players. And they're all going to be in San Diego because they're going to play the All-Star game this coming weekend in August 3rd. And they're going to obviously play the national championship as well. So top-notch teams going into, you know, quality opposition. It's basically splitting Team USA into two in a lot of ways. So it's great. It's going to be great football, I know for a fact. Unfortunately, I cannot make it there, and I wish I could because that's probably the best game you're going to see probably all season. You got Chicago's offensive onslaught and defensive fury, and then you got the Diamonds who never give up. And you got, top-notch players on both sides of the ball. So it's going to be an exciting time in San Diego at Balboa Stadium. So if you have an opportunity to do that, you can go to the website at WFAfootball.com. You can go to the Twitter feed at WFAfootball, and you can see the link on our also on our timeline for the travel arrangements to get to San Diego on August 3rd. So we're hoping that that's going to be the case and everybody shows up there and supports the women's game. This is the national championship, Silver Sport National Championship for the Women's Football Alliance. It's going to take place at historic Balboa Stadium on August 3rd. So looking forward to that. If we had to pick a winner, we're probably going to go with Rachel's pick at this point. So I'd say Chicago will probably edge the Diamonds. Not by a lot, but hopefully that's the case. But Chicago has been on a roll, on a mission since losing to San Diego in 2012 at Heinz Field. I just don't see them letting up now at the last game of the season. So it's going to take a lot from the Diamonds to overcome the Force and hopefully match up blow for blow. And at the end, I think it will be the Force edging Dallas. And Dallas is a historic team, over 5 world championships. So this is Chicago's looking for their national title. So I think it's going to happen. Jeanette Grace, Sammy Grisafi, the rest of the squad on that Chicago, and then Coach Konecki, of course, just won a gold medal. Why would you not top it off with a national title? So hopefully they will do that, and it'll be a credit to their efforts and their great work this season in terms of their on-field play. So let's go into the No Joke Football Huddle. The No Joke Football Huddle is brought to you by No Joke Football brand. You can get it at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. We had Legends Football Action. It was on YouTube as well. Seattle against Vegas. You can watch it. It's on until the end of the week. So you can go to YouTube, look up Legends Football League, and then you have the Seattle versus Las Vegas. You also had Chicago Bliss versus Minnesota Valkyrie, and that was the Bliss versus the Valkyrie 25-12 at Target Center. It was Heather Furr, Crystal Harris, putting on a show against Minnesota. And now the Bliss versus Chill for the Midwestern Division. So we'll keep on tabs on that. If you need the rundown on the playoff picture, you can go to LFL360.com for the latest playoff projections at that point. And you also had today, a Sunday, based on logistics from Saturday, that there was something that didn't happen with their field and they didn't get the equipment, so they had to change the game to Sunday. It was Philadelphia, 33-26 Christy Bell and Megan Larson, showcasing their Eastern Conference championship mentality. They took on the Cleveland Crush. Cleveland at this point was looking for a second home win, and they did not get it. They had quarterback Tiffany Suggs, who played an amazing game, 3 touchdowns. That was in lieu of Tia Nipper, who obviously was suspended from the league at this point for some Facebook posting. And we were going to have Chad on, but it hasn't happened, so we'll probably reschedule Chad for another show. But it was 33-26, and that was the Philadelphia Passion now looking towards a playoff berth. And based on the information that I got today, Jacksonville would be eliminated, but we still have one more game to play, Baltimore versus Omaha, and that will dictate really whether Jacksonville is even in the mix for the playoffs. The IWFL World Championship Tier 1 and Tier 2 games are on August 2nd and August 3rd, and that's in Round Rock, Texas. If you need the information on travel as well, you can go to IWFL on Twitter, or you can go to the IWFLsports.net. You can look it up on Google or Bing as well. The Sugar and Spice Football Super Bowl will be between Mystics, the McAllen Mystics, returning champs, versus the Texas Cowgirls, undefeated season so far. So August 17th, tickets on sale go on August 1st, and they will meet up in San Antonio for the Sugar and Spice Football League. You can get details at sugarandspicefootball.com. You can also go into the August 3rd event as the Lingerie Bikini Football League in Mexico, and they're going to showcase an exhibition game in Mexico City, and that's on August 3rd. Tickets go on sale this week. Aztec Goddesses versus the Morales Heat as well. And then you also have the tryouts in the MyLFL tryouts, MyLFL Canada. The Calgary Phillies were tryouts today from 2 to 4. It was this afternoon. So if you missed that, that's what they were. Earlier this week, the LFL Australia Queensland Brigade announced their uniform and new stadium for the fall season, obviously the summer season in Australia. You can get the details at LFL360.com. You can also get the details on the Gridiron News, New South Wales. You can go to thegridironnewsouthwales.com. The women's season will kick off September 6th in Australia. You can also go on Twitter at GC Stingrays for the latest news on where they're going to be at. The PGFL had tryouts also this week, the 22nd through the 27th. And you can go to the Pretty Girls Football League on Facebook to get all the details about their roster and their upcoming changes. So going forward, we're looking forward to the national championships on Sunday, talking about who the winner was in both leagues, the IWFL and obviously the WFA championships. And we'll look forward to another slate of games in the Legends League and see how that playoff picture is evolving. I'd like to thank Sharon Vasquez for coming on the show today. Pittsburgh Passion, All Fantasy, All-Star, and obviously Team USA team member, as well as Rachel Gore, Seattle Majestics, as well as All-Star there, and obviously Team USA members as well. So I appreciate both of their time today on Sunday, and we look forward to another edition of Gridiron Beauties next week, where we sit down with a current or pioneer of our sport, and we put together an interview that is entertaining, and as well as give our fans a look at the prominent stars in the women's gridiron game. So we look forward to next Sunday to be here for Gridiron Beauties Radio. Thank you, and have a great afternoon.